Terry Savage joins us. TerrySavage.com is the website. And Terry, did you hear my send up before you came on?
I did, and I was looking in my crystal ball, and it broke, and there's glass all over the floor.
Come on. What's the best number? What? 75 is foregone. Would you say 50 is a more hopeful reach for us in December?
Wait. Oh, in December. Okay. So it's not the number, actually, because they're not going to tell us the number, and we'll be having the same discussion a month from now. It's kind of what they see in Powell's remarks, and he's gotten very sophisticated. Earlier this year, in spring, actually, he sort of hemmed and hawed, and we had that huge stock market rally over the summer, which he ended at the end of August when he was in out west at that conference, saying, "This is short and sweet. We will tolerate a recession. We're not letting inflation get out of hand." Then the market declined dramatically. Consumer prices came out higher than expected. The market fell again. Now, in the last three, four weeks, October, usually the cruelest month, we've had a rally on the belief that the Fed's going to say, okay, declare victory and just give up. I don't think that's going to happen. And today we had news, not that this went into their decision, which was probably made yesterday, but payrolls rose stronger than expected, 239,000, as jobs come back in leisure and hospitality. Wages increased 7.7%, not quite as much as the previous month, but that's still very inflationary. We've got the winter with the home heating situation and higher prices, a guaranteed certainty. And I cannot imagine, although there are people on both sides of this argument, I can't imagine the Fed is going to hint at a slowdown or a pause or much less a pivot. So J.P. Morgan Chase sent out a note. This is the longest shot of all, but if the Fed did say maybe they would give up and have a pause and watch to see what's happening, if that happened, then they said the S&P 500 could surge 10% in one day. But that's like betting on a long shot at the racetrack. I mean, that's not a way to plan your finances.
Mm-hmm. I also wanted to ask you about the new I-bonds rate, which you forecast correctly. And how do we compare I-bonds now to T-bills? That seems to be an ongoing theme on our visits the last month or three. So let's pick it up here in a minute with Terry Savage. 312-981-7200 is the number. You've got a question or a comment, 312-981-7200. Best if you call, you can also text. Terry, lots of calls and text messages. What else do you want to say?
Well, let's tee this interest rate thing up. The Fed is meeting in an hour. We'll know whether they've raised rates 75 basis points. As you said, that's a pretty sure thing. We'll also know in the press conference that follows a little bit later what signs, signals, or what the market makes of what Fed Chairman Powell says. Go back to a week ago today. I was dancing up and down in the studio, running out of breath, trying to show people how to buy I-bonds. That week, they sold nearly $4 billion worth of I-bonds, $1 billion practically on Friday, which is more than the 3 years since previous years all put together. And we knew the rate would drop. It did drop, but it dropped to 6.89%, and what that includes is a 40 basis point, 0.40, permanent base rate on treasury, on I-bonds that are bought now, along with the inflation adjustment. So the total is 6.89% for 6 months. If you got in, and you already know if you did, then you got that 9.62%. It'll go for 6 months, and then this new rate will be attached on it. John, I was thrilled. We were able to help a lot of our listeners get through to the Treasury Department. They had that big problem with Hotmail email addresses rejecting the response.
Yep.
And actually, they trusted me to give, I gave the email addresses and actually get the numbers out to those people. So we helped a lot of people. Now the question is, okay, what about 6.89%? Still a very good deal for 6 months. Remember this. If the Fed wins and kills inflation, and then rates are dropping, which is what the market's hoping, will the Fed pause? Will it be less? Will it be over? 6 months from now, the rate on the I-bond would be even lower if inflation has been beaten down. And if that's the case, you must remember you have to hold the bonds for 1 year, After that, you must hold them for 5 years and or face a 3 month loss of interest penalty, which, you know, if inflation gets, if we go into some kind of depression and there's zero rates, you wouldn't mind taking that penalty. But on the other hand, right now, 6 month Treasury bills, 26 weeks, are trading at 4.6%. There's an auction every Monday. It's the same account that you use to buy your I bonds. Click on Buy Direct, and it says Treasury bills 13 weeks. It'll give you the next couple of weeks. So just, you can buy them right out of that same bank account.
But why do you like a T-bill at 4 when I can get an I bond at 7? Yeah, sure.
But because I think that the Fed will keep rates higher for longer. And I think, first of all, there's a $10,000 limit on I bonds. And if you want to buy something and put it away and know you'll keep up with inflation, that's fine. But if you have money that you want to be more liquid, you can say renew it automatically at 6 months or after 13 weeks. Or you can let them know that you changed your mind a week before the auction.
But Terry,
and the money goes back to your account.
On that 4.6%, I can retrieve my money without penalty, right?
You can't get it out before the end of the 6 months, but at the end, it just comes right back, dropped into your account,
right?
Unless you've said to them, automatically renew it, whatever the rate is.
So,
and you can change your mind at that.
Yeah, so 4.6 isn't 6.89, but it ain't bad, and
it's
now have
liquidity.
A little more liquidity.
Exactly. And flexibility is the word.
And
you can't take it out before, you know,
is
if
it
you
possible,
want your money.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't be cutting you off at all, but I want to just get you to answer this point. Is it possible that the I-bonds will eventually adjust to a rate lower than T-bills? So I would be glad that I had T-bills.
You know, well, now we have a 0.4% base rate. If we ever have T-bills below, again, which we did a few years ago, 0.4%, that means we're going into a major economic slowdown recession. I just think that the super duper edge of 9.62% is like, that's gone. And I still have nothing against I bonds. And it's the kind of thing where you want to put some money away and not worry about the safety and know it'll keep up with inflation. That's fine. But for a lot of people who say, my bank, you know, my CD, now they're going to give me 3%. I've responded to a lot of people saying, well, that's no gift. Go to the Treasury auction. You can do that.
4.6.
It's trading at 4.6 now. I think if the Fed raises rates, it's mostly in the market, but it could even be a little bit higher. The auction takes place on Monday. You agreed to take the average rate that all the big financial institutions demand the Fed pay them in order for them to lend the Fed the billions it needs to replace old maturing bonds and to go deeper into debt.
Okay, lots of questions for Terry Savage.
Okay.
This 630 says, how can I calculate how much my I bonds will be worth in 5 years? I bought $10,000 at 9.62.
You can't, because you don't know what the subsequent inflation adjustments will be.
But are you at least guaranteed of $962 at 9.62% on $10,000?
No, because that's 960. Think about that. 962 is that rate for 1 year. You'll get that rate for only 6 months.
So that gets you $190.
And then you're going to get six, you know, almost 7%.
Right.
Come on, let's not. You know, we're pinching pennies here, and people are leaving their money in the bank or in money market funds at 0.66%.
You got to answer this question for me. So say I have $10,000 and it's 9.6%.
Don't make me do the math.
I will.
I can't do the math.
I will, and it's real simple. So say I get 9.62% for that first 6 months. So now I have, divided by five, $10,190 or whatever. Now it readjusts to 6.89%. Does that 6.89 apply to the first 10,000 or to the 10,000 plus the interest that I earned in the
cumulative.
First 6 months?
It's cumulative.
So that snowball keeps getting bigger as it gets bigger.
That's the whole point of compound interest.
This is Paula, or go listen back to previous podcasts.
Right on the podcast.
And they're all there.
Although it's a little too late for the I bonds now.
Paula, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call, Terry. I appreciate all your advice, and unfortunately, I procrastinated and did not open up an account with Treasury Direct until Monday, 2 days ago. I got a confirmation on my laptop screen that says, thanks for opening an account. We're now sending your account number to the email address you provided, and that's how you get access to your account. But I still, 2 days later, have not received this email.
Let me guess. Your email is at Hotmail.
No, it's a Yahoo.
No. Oh, Yahoo? Okay, go to my website. Click on the Ask Terry blog. put your name, don't put your Treasury Direct Account number, your email, and post
that. I don't have the number because that's what's coming in the email.
Oh, that's right. Okay, put your name and write this whole thing that you just told me down, and I will copy it and send it to my contact at Treasury Direct and see if we can get, now that things have slowed down a little bit of help from you, because you can still buy Treasury bills and you can still buy savings bonds at that account. So you want to know what the account number is.
And you missed the boat.
Did you check your spam, by the way?
I did religiously, right. Uh-huh.
Okay.
I checked it again.
Well, send me that information, the email address you used, and the wording on that letter, and I'll bundle them all up. And I think if my guy survived, you know, John, we exchanged texts at about 7-8 o'clock Friday night because we were both still working. I said, how about we meet together at Zoom at midnight for a glass of wine? He said, I think I'm going to need something stronger.
I can imagine. I'm glad to hear the two of you are working that hard for American citizens in his case and our listeners in yours. Hey, Terry, I bought $10,000 of an I-bond using my account. Can I buy more for my adult children as gifts?
Yes, and you can buy them in your account, but you need their Social Security number.
So you just put it in their number.
Then you would hold them in a gift box and perhaps not distribute them. But if they're adult children, maybe you just want to gift them money and let them buy I-bonds, unless you don't trust that they'll do it with the money.
Is there a penalty if the Treasury bond is cashed before 6 months?
You're thinking of Treasury bills. Treasury bills have maturities of less than a year, notes 2 years and up to 10 years, and bonds are longer-term Treasury bonds. So I assume you're not talking about I-bonds. Treasury bills, you don't get a penalty. You just can't get the money out before maturity.
Oh, period. Okay.
Period. I mean, there are ways, but count on the fact that if you're buying a 13-week, 3 months, 26-week, 6-month Treasury bill, that you are not going to need it until it plops back into your account at maturity.
This is Joel. You're on WGN. Joel, what can we do for you?
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I created an account in Treasury Direct, and I bought like $5,000 of T-bills. And I see, when I log into the account, I see the $5,000 there. But when I look at my checking account, they only took out like $4,800.
Ta-da! Joe, guess what? Bingo, here's the extra special thing about Treasury bills. Two extra special things. One, there's no state income tax on the interest you earn. And number two, they literally give you your interest up front. So at the auction date, when they figure out what the rate's going to be, they take out something less than the $5,000 or $10,000 you bought. The balance they leave there is the interest, which you get up front to spend or put into your money market fund and even earn a little bit more on it.
So you've made money already.
Right. And at maturity, let's say you said, don't renew automatically, then your $5,000 full, the whole amount will come back into your account. But if you had said to them, oh, roll it over, renew it at whatever the going rate is at maturity, then all of a sudden, plop into your account comes interest. It's so much fun to get that.
Oh, so does that mean that I got the $200-something right up front and then I'm going to get more at the back end?
No, not at the back end, but if you renew them, if you say, okay, extend my Treasury bills for another $5,000 for another 6 months, then they'll send you the interest up front the next time too.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, thank you very much. That was thought, but I wasn't sure.
I think a lot of people have, we get that call every now and then, and people are like, oh, what did I do wrong? And you didn't do anything wrong, but what a nice little conundrum, and you're the beneficiary of it.
I've been doing this forever, and I never budget for it. And then all of a sudden, I get an email that says, check your inbox, and it says, in Treasury Direct, it says, your account automatically was reinvested. And then I look at my bank account, and I go, oh, look, money, extra money.
This is Bernard. You're on WGN. What can we do for you, Bernard?
Well, thanks for taking my call. My call is pertaining to some other subject. The subject is there's several people that I know have received a rebate directly into their bank account from the Illinois pertaining to real estate tax. And I've called many of the people in government that are on my tax form, on my real estate tax form. Everybody I've talked to acts as if they've never heard of this before. and then they might tell me to call some other number.
You know anything about that, Terry?
I do, but I've made a promise to myself that I'm not going to know anything more than I know than the fact that I know it exists. And I'll tell you why. For some weird reason, Illinois decided to hand out money to people who paid state income taxes or property taxes. I won't call it on a willy-nilly basis, but I decided I won't be an expert because I want you to know that I rarely get political, but I think this is a blatant vote-buying scheme when we have a state that has so many other higher needs. So dropping money into people's accounts. I know I looked it up once, a month or two ago when people asked, if you look on the state of Illinois, they have a headline, "We're sending you money. Don't you love us?" So I don't have any details, and I'm not going to be an expert on that.
Thanks for the call. I'm glad you at least brought that to our attention. Terry, I purchased Treasury bills October 19th and received confirmation of the purchase, but no money has been deducted from my savings account.
Treasury bills?
Says I purchased Treasury bills.
Post on my blog, and I'll include that in the next batch I pass on to my buddy at Treasury.
Because
the 19th, that definitely
should have happened.
Did you look on your inbox? You got a confirmation? Write that all out for me and just put your email on there. I've learned they can check on your account by using your email. I can't, but the Treasury can find your account.
TerrySavage.com is where you go for help like that. And on Wednesdays, you come right here to WGN Radio. That's all our time today, Terry. I'm sorry we didn't get to all the calls and texts. We never do, but we do the best we can, and we'll ask you to help us again next week.
Thank you, John.
That's Terry Savage on the Wintrust Business Lunch and more business news with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. There's a new opioid settlement, this one involving several retail pharmacies, including Deerfield-based Walgreens, CVS, and Walmart. They'll pay more than $13 billion to resolve thousands of state and local government lawsuits over mishandling of the painkillers. The proposed settlement is one of the last big settlements involving opioid lawsuits. Walgreens says its portion of the settlement includes payments that'll be spread out over 15 years. Those payments include $154 million to Native American tribes who sued the pharmacy, plus more than $750 million in legal fees. You've heard the news about several high-profile companies moving headquarters out of the Chicago area, but the state's economic development arm says you haven't heard the whole story. Intersect Illinois CEO Dan Seals, in an op-ed in Cranes, says hundreds of other companies came to Illinois and brought thousands of jobs with them last year. From July 2021 to June 2022, the group says 357 companies relocated to Illinois and brought 16,000 jobs with them. Their investment in the state was $7.1 billion. Seals says there's still work to be done, but Illinois is on the right path. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
And now the business of food. Here's Steve Alexander.
Thank you, and let's begin with this. Is there a better restaurant city than Chicago? While you mull that over, let me tell you how happy we are to be sponsored by the Chevy Silverado HD. Experience life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. Okay, is there a better restaurant city than Chicago?
I don't think so.
That's Alex DeSorbo Quinn, who is executive director of a food-based nonprofit called Pilot Light, and it features among its founders and supporters a who's who of Chicago's chefs,
including Paul Kahn from Avec and Big Star, Matthias Mergis from Mordecai, and Jason Hamill from Lula Cafe.
And with a nudge from Michelle Obama's Let's Move campaign, where she wanted to change the way a generation of kids thinks about food and nutrition, this group of Chicago chefs formed Pilot Light.
That partners with pre-K through 12 classroom teachers to make food education part of everyday learning. And we do that by supporting teachers and teaching about food through food for all grade levels and in all different types of communities, ranging from urban to rural. And it's been really exciting to see our growth. We've reached about 20,000 students.
Good stuff. And one of the reasons you're here today is to talk about a big fundraiser you have on Friday.
Sure. Well, November 4th, we are hosting our annual Feed Your Mind Gala. This one will be our 10th annual. We're hosting it this year in person at the Arbory in Chicago and also virtually. We are excited to have just incredibly talented group of chefs from throughout the city joining us. And it's just going to be an incredible, memorable meal for the folks who are in attendance.
Yeah, the good news for Pilot Light is that the event is sold out. But the better news for the rest of us is we can participate virtually.
We have free tickets available for the virtual event, and they have the option to be paired with catering for pickup or delivery from Avec in Big Star. The whole catered meal, they can make it a party. They can join us for our incredible live auction. We have a silent auction as well.
And the website to go to is pilotlightchefs.org, and you can sign up there, and also you can donate or you can even volunteer. From the farm to your belly, today is National Deviled Egg Day. That's the business of food and good on 720 WGN.
So that's Halloween in your rear view mirror, and here comes Thanksgiving, and our friends at Let Us Entertain You have some ideas for how to dine in or dine out on them. And to tell us about that is Jared Melman, the executive partner. Hey, Jared, welcome back. How are you?
Great. How are you?
How was summer for the group? How did LEYE do during the summer and fall so far?
You know, so far, so good. It was a really nice summer season in Chicago. You know, the restaurants were nice and busy, and, you know, it's nice to see things returning back to normal a little bit. So, you know, so far, so good. It doesn't feel like fall yet, even out there. So,
no kidding.
Kind of getting a little bit of summer still here in November, which is nice.
Do you guys still have dine out at some of those places where you pushed it out onto the sidewalks and stuff?
We do. It's funny. I was walking the River North neighborhood this morning and just saying, wow, it's crazy that we still have patios going in November. But yeah, we still have a little bit of outdoor dining going on for the next couple of days.
And then here comes Thanksgiving in a few weeks. Is November typically a slower month then? Does it kind of drop off in Thanksgiving time?
You know, as people are going back to school and holidays and people traveling, like, things take a little bit of a dip. But honestly, Thanksgiving has become such a great holiday for us, as I think people are wanting to cook less and less. And so we, you know, we have options for dine-in, you know, if people want to come out and celebrate with us, or options to take home. And it's really become quite a popular day.
Boy, my family and I for 15 years dined out every Thanksgiving. And we loved it, loved it. And it's a different kind of tradition maybe than some people are used to. But boy, you get on that bus, you do not want to get off. It's a beautiful thing.
We switched a few years back, and I completely agree.
Yeah. So is it all the restaurants in your Let Us Entertain You portfolio, or do they all have Thanksgiving options?
Most of them have some kind of offering, whether that's a to-go package, whether that's desserts or cakes or pies. And then a handful of places are going to be open on Thanksgiving Day. Our website, lettuce.com, has a list of all the offerings. I think that's probably the best place to go.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Your needs.
Yeah, so I'm looking at them now. RPM Italian, RPM Steak, Shaw's Crab House, Wildfire, Beatrix in Streeterville, and the list goes on. And you list them by places you can actually dine in on Thanksgiving Day, and then another category is those from which you might order out. I see you can dine in at RPM Steak. You're probably aware of the fact that TripAdvisor listed you guys as one of the best steakhouses in Chicago.
Yes, it was. It's certainly a great honor. I mean, the team over there literally travels the world. Our executive chef Bob was just in Bob Broski was just in Japan doing a Wagyu class. So, I mean, that team is scouring the globe looking for the best sources of meat, and it's really cool to get some recognition.
What's a Wagyu class? Here's what you do. You get some Wagyu, you put it on the grill. I tell you, I think you overpaid for that trip, because all he's doing is cooking meat on the grill. What's that all about, Jared?
You know, it's a lot more involved than that. You know, when you start getting in that upper echelon of beef, like, you have to get certified to even serve it. So we're one of only a handful of countries,
really?
Restaurants in the world that can serve this.
Wow.
So, you know, it all has to do with how they're raising the cows and what they feed them. So
let's talk about the pies, too. Let Us Entertain You. By the way, that's RPM Steak we're talking about.
Yes.
But the pies, is it a different pie from different places, or does the Let Us Entertain You family just have, one set of pies?
I think different restaurants have gotten famous for different pies over the years. So certainly Joe's Stone Crab, well known for their pies, and they have whole pies available for purchase ahead of time for the holidays. Shaw's. I mean, if I think about their raspberry pie, it's like one of our family's all-time favorites. So they do whole pies to go for Thanksgiving. So a number of our spots have pies and are selling them to go for Thanksgiving.
I know you love them like your children, but which which is the best pie in the Let Us Entertain You family?
Oh, man. Like I said, the raspberry pie at Shaw's is a house favorite. I mean, we get that all the time. The peanut butter pie at Joe's, again, a huge favorite. And I realize this isn't pie, but I have to point out that the Thanksgiving meal that we're offering to go from Hub 51 is our take on my mom's recipes. So it's the closest thing to how she does her turkey and how she does her stuffing. So that one stands out in my mind because it just reminds me of kind of growing up eating her Thanksgiving dinner.
Hub 51 features roasted organic turkey with gravy, homemade corn pudding, mom's famous stuffing, whipped potatoes with gravy, Tillamook cheddar, mac and cheese, cranberry sauce, pecan pie. Yeah. That's cheating. That's too good.
It's just kind of a traditional Thanksgiving spread, and it hits the spot for me every time.
L-E-Y-E. Well, Let Us Entertain You, I guess. Or lettuce.com. Is that what I'm going to go to? Is that where we should
send it? It is.
People?
Exactly. That's our new website.
How do you have lettuce? How do you guys have lettuce? L-E-T-T-U-C-E. Don't the lettuce growers of America own that or somebody?
It became available and we jumped on it. So we were formerly LEY.com and we switched to lettuce.com and we were excited about it.
Nice to talk to you, Jared, and thanks for serving all those meals for those of us that like to dine out or have somebody else cook it for us on Thanksgiving. Well done.
Really appreciate you having me on.
Jared Melman, the executive partner at Let Us Entertain You.